Hey, welcome to Tone Talk with Mark and Dave. It's Ask Dave, Punish Him with Questions tonight, number 22.
Maybe we should just change the title instead of Ask Dave. Punish Dave.
Punish Dave with Questions.
Number 22.
Yeah. I like it. I think it's good.
I'm punished every day, all day. It doesn't matter. I've gotten used to it.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
Are the questions here any different than the questions you get all day? Usually?
Generally a little smarter.
Okay. That's good. That's good. That's good. All right. Well,
I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know.
Oh, man. Well, I hope everybody's doing good. We had a short show last night where we launched our cables. It's all set up. I can't do it here. I was using it earlier, but we sold out of those cables in 2 hours, 50 cables.
Gone. Bye. Gone. You guys got to wait for a while now for another batch. We'll do another batch. Second batch will also be donated. All the proceeds donated to charity. So I think that's a good thing to give back.
Absolutely.
I feel especially strong about it because, you know, my friend that works for me has cancer. So it's,
I'm sorry to hear that.
Especially close to home, kind of.
Yeah. When you have to see someone suffering from it. Yeah. It's rough, man. Yeah. Happy to help other musicians, other people in the music industry. It's great. So, So everybody who bought a cable, just hang tight. You know, Vinny's overloaded now with 50 cables that have to be made. The cards that'll be signed, they're already signed by me. So I just want to be full disclosure to everybody, let you guys know behind the scenes what's happening. So we have these cards. I signed them, sent it to Dave. Dave's got them. They're going to be coming on Monday for Dave. And he'll sign them and he's going to ship it to the cards over to Vinny. And then Vinny will have all the cards for everybody. And he's been making cables. I even talked to him today. He was making cables. So, so he's going to be pumping those out. And then the goal is to do another 50 once those go out. And then that will also be donated to charity as well. Any of the proceeds that we earn from that will be donated to the Sweet Relief Cancer Fund. Can we get those tracking numbers? Hang tight, my friend. Hang tight. Okay. Seriously, give Vinny at least 2 weeks on this, you guys. And I'm sure they'll be going out. Okay.
Yeah. He's getting it done.
Yep. He's the man. And I think you'll love the cables and the little packaging that he came up with and everything. It looks really great. So.
Eat.
So cool. All right. There's a question already for Dave.
Of course there is. Boom. Well, it is Ask Dave.
Yeah. having the IRX developed and out in the wild, can you share insights on what makes the attack immediacy of a real amp feel quicker than modelers, which feel more compressed slow?
You know, I don't know. I don't know if I can really tell you why that is. Well, one, it's analog, it's real. The IRX has super low latency, first off. We also, I mean, it's not all analog, but obviously because there's digital portions of the unit, but you know, there's something just yeah, man, just having the tube in there, there's something that's just ever so slightly more better, you know, more better. It also reacts and cleans up to a guitar volume really well. It doesn't, you know, modelers don't always do that great. Although, you know, you can make a modeler sound okay, but it's not. You know, the other thing too, it depends on what modeler you're talking also, you know, like the Neural, for instance, is probably one of the better ones. I mean, fractals to me, although, you know, are a great product. You know, the models are a little one-dimensional for my taste. It sounds, there's no depth to it, you know, and tubes seem to have like more of a depth to it, you know, mm-hmm. So one-dimensional. I know, like, on some of the fractals, to me, like, the high end seems a little rolled, like, not necessarily that it's dark, but some of the high end is rolled, so it almost occasionally comes off as being like a wah cocked on a little bit, you know, no matter what you do to kind of get it out. And that to me always sounds more fake, you know, it doesn't quite sound real.
Now, when you're listening to those things, are they typically at loud volumes?
The fractals?
Yeah, the modelers.
Any volume, really.
Okay.
It does that. I there's something in the fractal I hear that's really veiled, a little bit veiled. The neural with the right capture is pretty damn good. Although, you know, there's pluses and minuses to all of them. I mean, the Helix is actually pretty good. You know,
I have a Kemper, you know, and
yeah, the Kemper can be good if you capture the right,
if it's a good profile.
A good profile. Anything right. Problem with you get in with Kemper or profiles is you capture a snapshot, you know, essentially. And then if you need to tweak it, you need another snapshot, you know, it's not.
Well, it's, supposedly they came out with this, Kemper came out with this upgrade called Liquid Profiles. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of this?
I think I just heard about it, yeah.
Yeah, and supposedly it's the new capture allows for it to capture the tone stack. Or they give you an option for four or five different tone stacks that will match the amp that you're basically profiling. Okay.
It's great. Yeah. And then, you know, just more futzing around with the computer, more right. More futzing around with everything else. The whole point of the IRX, you know, was
quick
to not do this. It's like an amp. It's like you have an amp, you know, and you want less treble, turn the treble down.
And quite honestly,
5 seconds, you got the sound, you know.
The options are endless really on it as well. If you really wanted to go down those rabbit holes, like there was someone on the Friedman page who posted, oh, I like the IRs on the IRX, but you know, I'm going to go down and check out the free ones that are available. And I'm like,
sure.
Yeah. I mean, you have endless possibilities.
You can do that. You know, the funny thing I've found, a lot of people will try other IRs, even some really great one, York Audio or things like that. And then they wind up coming back to the ones that were in it. And they were like, these are just great.
I've tried a lot of IRs previously on different boxes, not yours. Mm-hmm. And yours are great. So I'm not just saying it. I mean, Michael Nielsen's IRs and yours are probably the two best IRs that I've tried. So anyway, absolutely. Let's see. Oh, Vinny's here. Hola, I won't be riding much as I'm currently punished with cables. All right.
Try not to hang yourself on one.
Yeah. Don't do that. Your family needs.
Remember, it was your idea.
And yes, it was. Thanks, Dan, and thank you everyone for support last night. Yeah, that's awesome. If you guys want to check out any other cables from Vinny, you can go to signummusic.com. But like I said, the next run will be done after the first 50 go out. So we'll make that announcement at some point. All right. I got to bring this up. Did you see that Slash went to Magnetone?
Oh, I already knew that. And it fucking sounds awful too.
Does it?
Let me preface this. It doesn't necessarily sound awful. It just doesn't sound like Slash.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I've heard Magnetone amps sound really good. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Doesn't sound like what he's known for. He's now fundamentally changed what he's doing. And when you hear, and I just saw them, and when you hear the old songs, you really miss that brightness and the crang of the Marshall. So, you know, it's not that it's necessarily a bad tone, but it's definitely looser and more vintage sounding. So I'm not saying it's bad or a bad amp. I'm just saying it doesn't sound like I believe it should. So that, you know, I'll say that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it certainly.
Yeah. It's sort of like, you know, when Eddie Van Halen went from his Marshall to, you know, the PV or something, you know, It's not necessarily that it's bad. It's just not the sound you are accustomed to.
Speaking of that, also, there was a video that came out today.
But wait, let me add something to this. Did you see the thing, you know, everyone saying that gone to Magnetone? Did you see what Slash said?
No.
That he didn't dump Marshall. That he still plans on working with Marshall.
Oh.
And so he had a rebuttal to all this stuff. So
as usual, the media got the headline.
Well, I mean, you know, of course, I mean, of course, you know, the press release, of course, is, you know, blah, 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 you know, and then, I mean, he's currently using a Magnetone, but, you know, he didn't rule out the fact that he still has a relationship with Marshall. So we'll see how that plays out.
Right. Okay. It's not like he has, well, he did have signature items with Marshall for a while. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any current signature product. So. Interesting. Okay. Well, the other point that I was going to bring up is, you know, the Steve Rosen book, he has a channel, on YouTube, and there was a video today with,
Steve Rosen has a channel on YouTube.
Where he releases like different interviews and stuff like that.
Right.
And, there was an interview with I have it right here. It was, with Zeke Clark.
Yeah.
From 86.
Yeah.
And I'm listening to the interview and I'm just like, I wanted to scream like into the, like, I wanted to just start typing like, this is all wrong. Like, what are you saying? They're basically saying like, you know, Jose was modifying all of his amps and, you know, and there was all these special modifications for Jose amps that Ed was working on, and all of his Marshalls were tweaked. And
yeah, that's just not, I mean, Jose worked on a lot of his amps and maybe upgraded impedance selectors and made minor tweaks and biasing and things like this. But, I've been in all those amps.
I know. Now,
when I say stock, it's basically stock. I mean, is there maybe a slight little one in this one or a slight little something in this one? But I'm talking, it's operating like a stock amp.
Right. Well, the other thing that was mentioned in the interview, and I haven't listened to the whole interview, but was that there was a Jose that they were working on that they were hoping that one day would be used, that they could launch as a product.
Yeah, I've talked about that before.
Right. So that one is
the mystery amp that no one knows where it is.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he talks about working alongside Ed on that. And then, but I haven't gotten any further than that. So
kind of around the, I think he used it once on the Monsters of Rock or something. He used it on a show or something.
Really? Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, so that was an interesting interview because I know we were hoping to have Zeke on the show one day, but
we were.
Didn't we?
No, Rudy Laren.
Rudy Laren, that's right. Rudy Laren.
I asked. He just, he didn't want to. I don't know. We'll see. I'll ask again.
Now, who was for? So Rudy,
he said, Laren, he basically kind of said, "I'll think about it." Rudy Laren was Ed's tech from the club days through 1984.
Okay.
Zeke came in for 5150.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Well, that would be great if we can get Rudy one day.
It would be if he'll agree to it.
Yeah.
So far, no.
Yeah. Hey, Dave, have you been refunded by FedEx about the amp for the darkness for Justin?
No.
Oh, fuck.
In fact, I need to call them because I think they've lost or botched the claim even. So, yeah, we'll see. Okay. Might have to eat some of that.
Is he coming on?
Eventually, he's got all these touring commitments. It's crazy. And then he still has a crazy schedule with his own podcast. You know, he's constantly filming that stuff.
Yeah, he's always making.
Yeah, I mean, so no, he agreed to do it. It's just finding, because I mean, he's leaving on tour again, and then he's doing his own tour with Justin Hawkins Rides Again in England.
Oh, good for him.
So where he's doing basically his podcast thing on live.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
In some form or another, you know, I think he we'll see if it works.
Wow.
I think he's seeing if it's going to work.
Imagine if you and I went on tour together.
Oh my God, that'd be interesting.
We just tour around the country and we
Tone Talk Live.
Yeah, Tone Talk Live in.
Yeah, we'll get five people showing up in Pittsburgh or something.
Right, exactly. That would be rough. All right, let's see. Spartan Pride, missed the cable show, but glad to wait until maybe a Tone Talk gear sale show in the spring. Definitely a gear sale show needs to come back
again. Yeah, I have things, not as many pedals, some of them bigger things and some of them oddball things, and
I have things.
I have some things.
Yeah. Me too.
I mean, I went through most of the exciting pedal-oriented things, you know.
You said you had boxes of upon boxes of stuff.
Well, I got a whole box of Wahs.
Right. There you go.
And I have, you know, I have. Yeah, there's things.
Yeah, I got you.
There's you know, Randall preamps and the amps, and there's a JVM that's laying around here, and I don't know, Faustine attenuator I'd be willing to sell.
Oh wow.
I don't know, I basically just have to pile a bunch of stuff up behind me that I find, and we have a garage sale.
I was always curious about that Faustine attenuator.
That's a great attenuator.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah. Do I need it? I don't really need it.
No. I mean, it's a great attenuator. But
guitars I'm going to sell too, I decided.
Once the Fry Up Power Station came out, it's kind of like it blew all those things away.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. There's a few guitars I've decided I'm going to part with too. I don't have to part with them, but I decided I'm just going to because I just don't need them.
I am pretty much down to all the guitars that I just really love. I've sold a few guitars recently.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just went on Reverb. I also sold a guitar for a friend of mine, and that didn't go well. Oh, unfortunately. Yeah. The neck, there was an issue with the truss rod, and then we had to give the guy a refund to some. It's horrible.
Selling guitars is not always good. It's always can be a pain in the ass with that. You got to kind of know who you're selling to. Like, I feel like people that buy stuff from us here in our own place at least understand stuff better. I'm not saying, you know, here's the guitar. I'm not saying it's perfect, you know.
Right.
It'll have a ding and a scratch, and it'll have this and that, you know.
Well, this, he claimed that there was some issue with the neck. So I was like, all right.
Yeah.
So yeah. But it wasn't my guitar. So lesson learned there is don't sell guitars for friends. I'm just going to sell my own shit. Let's see. Kerry Kruger, when is the release date on your new amps, the Plexi and the Vox?
I don't have a release date. Kick rocks. I'm kidding. I don't have a release date. It'll be it'd be here when it's done.
When it's done, it's like,
I mean, it's kind of done. We're just ordering things and getting parts, and you know, it's just doing that whole song and dance, you know, getting into production.
Right. All right. So that means it's close.
But there's all sorts of things coming.
I hear, which is awesome. Which is great.
You'll have to torture us to find out.
No, I won't. I will not say a word. All right. Thanks. Thanks, Carrie. Hello, Dave and Mark. Dave, I hope my JJ100 made it to you safely today, and thank you for making time to do some mods on it for me.
Yes, it did. It was magically in the back of my shop here. I'm not here on Wednesday, that was Thursday. I don't know when the hell it came, to be honest, but it was somehow in the back. It's here.
Well, that's nice to hear, right, Zeke? I'm sure, right? That's reassuring, I'm sure. As Vinny said, he will send tracking to everyone when things are ready. Okay.
Awesome.
Love my IRX. Will there be a Phil X IRX? Oh, that's, I like that.
Phil XX?
Phil XX. Phil triple X.
Phil X? Or, yeah, probably not. Probably not.
Okay. Really, the only difference is you just put a Variac switch on it. Right. Boom.
Yeah, I think you can get those sounds out of it already. So.
Right, probably. Yeah. Probably.
Sure.
Stan Mucha wants to know, hey Dave, who is good at repairing Roland SD-3000s?
Oh, Stan. What's wrong with it? That's the first question. There is a guy that my partner knows out here. I could get, I don't have his information handy, but I could get his information, and he repairs a lot of processors like that. I don't know what his deal is, but he would probably be the guy I would at least give a shot to. Hmm. It's just a question of, you know, how much is another one versus repairing that one? You know, it's like, how much do you want to invest? Because you got to ship it, and you got to ship it two ways, and then you got to pay for the repair. And at that point, did you just pay for another one? You know,
see, I have a an SRV 2000, right? Mm-hmm. That's the reverb one, right?
Right.
And yeah, Mike Torin gave that one to me, and it's got some issue with what, you know, I was like, oh, I think I need to get it fixed. So
what's the issue? One of the outs, like, or something that cut it out or something?
Exactly.
That could be a simple issue, like the jacks need resoldering. That solder connection is just cracked at the where the jack is, mm-hmm, on the board. So that could be really easy.
I see. Okay. So,
in fact, it probably is the issue.
I mean, easy and like that I could do it, or easy?
Probably,
like,
yeah.
Really? Okay. All right, I'll talk to you offline.
Okay.
We'll see if we make that happen. What's in the glass, Dave? What are you drinking?
Man, I only had one thing here, and that's red breast Irish whiskey.
Oh, wow.
And I don't really like it that much, so I'm just having a little.
Irish whiskey.
Someone gave it to me. Something okay. I bought. So don't, it's a lot of sugar for me. So I'll just have a little taste. A little taste.
Dave, if we bought the Freedom Princeton style coming out someday, would you be able to easily plug in the IRX and then basically have three Freedman amps in one? Assuming it had a loop,
which it wasn't planning on it having a loop. So I don't feel vintage style amp should have a loop at all, ever. I see no point. And generally clean style amps, I really see no point in having a loop.
Right.
They're just, you can just put the pedals into the front. It's fine. It's just, that's what people did for 40 years. More, so, 50, 60 years. So.
Yeah. So the answer is no.
Yeah. No, sorry. But interesting idea though.
Well, you could go ahead and get a Freedman pedal, You can get like the Buxom Boost or.
This is just food for thought. Thank you.
Gotcha. 3J Music. I'm playing my RX now, and the Tone Talk notification just popped on my phone. I almost missed it. Glad you're here.
Glad you're playing the IRX. It's awesome.
Can you make a clone of my favorite 50-watt Marshall that you love, or what is your closest production Friedman amp?
That is the Plexi amp I'm coming out with. It is a sonic clone of my 50-watt Marshall with a few other features that make it even more useful.
Wow. I know I'm going to have that.
Start saving.
Yeah, it's like, Jesus Christ. The only other thing that I have that's on order right
then
now.
Then you'll need an attenuator again.
You know what? I'll get it because my cousin, would you believe my cousin Randy? He's out in Nashville. I can shit talk because I know he's not watching. he bought a Freya power station for a Fender style, like a 57 twin that he has.
Oh yeah. Uh-huh.
And he bought a power station and he literally has not taken it out of the box in 5 years.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. It's the original power station and he hasn't hooked it up or anything. So I think I'm just going to get that from him. So that'll be easy enough. Cool. Okay. Warren, what's going on? Thanks for the super chat. I just bought a PV Butcher pre and post gain on 9. I'm getting almost no overdrive. What should I do? It's 120 watt. Will it blow the speakers on my 4x12 Friedman cab? Do you do mods on these?
No gain. Well, it's a JCM 800, so you're getting about as much gain as a JCM 800 has, or you should be.
Which isn't a lot.
It's crunchy, you know. It's not a ton. And those sound pretty cool. I mean, yeah, you could do a million things to them. Sure, you could do all sorts of mods to them. Will you blow it on 9? No, you won't. You'll be okay. These cabs are tough.
Okay. Guitars for your project. Thanks for the super chat. How can I make the IRX stereo to front of house? Dumped by quad after using this live, just missing the stereo aspect.
I think my quad is.
Dump my quad, yes.
Well, all you do is you take a normal tip sleeve cable, come out of the balanced out of the IRX. You can use a normal cable. Make sure the ground lift's not on. Well, you'll know if it is. It'll go. Plug it into your whatever effect you want to use that's going to make it stereo. Who knows? Delay. I don't know what you're going to use. And then take the outs of that effect to front of house. Simple.
Simple. Cool. Hope that works out for you.
You know what can work really well is the a small rig. If you can get a HX Stomp or something, not the HX Stomp, the HX Effects, and you know you could use that with the in conjunction with the IRX, and it would be pretty cool.
Spartan Pride, what scales or guitar exercises should you be doing during this show when the guitar is unplugged? I'd say 3 note per string. It's wide stretch. You know. Every other fret, do it. You know, 1, 3, what is that? 1, 2, 4, 3 note per string. You could do it. You have any opinion on that? No.
Learn to bend properly to pitch. I guess I could show, I don't have a guitar here.
Where you go to the note first?
You bend the note first, and then you hit the other note that's the same, and you try to hit, you know, your picking two notes, but you try to hit it right to pitch every time. Mm-hmm. It's a very good exercise because there's nothing worse than people going for the bend and it being out of tune.
Yeah, that's true.
A pet peeve.
Yeah, I hate when
and I'm not that. Saying I'm perfect at it either. But
no, I mean,
you know, but it's something that I have worked at a little bit. In my spare time, you know, when I have all that free time, you know, yeah. If my fingers are not hurting.
Yeah, well, that's important. Yeah, I hate when I go for a bend and I'm like, oh, I'm totally.
I think after using my hand for all these years, I'm starting to have like a little tiny bit of arthritis. Because at times it's fucked up.
Really? Like you just get.
Like I get weird things like, you know. On my picking hand, my one first finger knuckle, because the way I hold the pick is it's sort of like the pick rests on the side of my index, my, you know, first finger.
Yeah, I know.
And then the thumb pushes down on that finger all the time to pick. And in turn, that's pushing the knuckle sideways all the time. So that knuckle gets a little weird. Hmm. And like, I use my hands constantly, you know, like stripping cables and stuff, and I have for 10 million years. So they're, you know, not so much my left hand, but my right hand's a little more messed up.
I've got an issue with my wrist. Well, that's just because I'm
this old age, man.
Yeah, no, I just cracking my knuckles and my hands over the many, many years is not a good thing.
Yeah,
that's my advice to people. Don't crack your knuckles and shit if you're a guitar player.
And then I hurt my wrist too, my other wrist. Doing stupid shit. Like you went to get off the couch and then like you didn't quite get off the couch right. And I put my hand down on the couch and, you know, pushed it sort of backwards a little bit. And it hurt really bad. And it's like, it's never quite been the same.
That sucks.
You know, I'd probably go, you know, they'll probably tell me, oh yeah, you actually cracked it or something, you know, but
yeah,
but it's, so now enough. If I put any real hard pressure, like if I go to lean on the floor and get up or something on that hand, it's like, fuck no. Ow.
Oh man. Maybe you should get it checked out.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
On your, in your free time.
In my free time. Yeah. I'll get it checked out.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll mention it. So what? Okay. Then they do imaging. They take an X-ray of it. Oh, it looks okay. Well, it must be like a cartilage injury. You know, I know how this goes.
Right. Right. Oh, we'll put you in physical therapy for.
You put you in physical therapy for it, and okay, that's great.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
We'll put a cortisone shot in it. How about that?
Yeah. Well, sometimes that works.
Yeah, heals it up.
It could.
Takes the inflammation down.
Mm-hmm. My wife has had that done. I had it done before in my back. Tobias Ryan, thanks for the super chat. Love the show as always. Question for me. Which is your favorite Friedman amp and why? You know, I've got three, right? So I've got the Jake, the Little Sister, and the BE-100. I would go with the BE-100 because it just... I don't know. There's just something, the tone there is just more about what I hear in my head. I really love the Little Sister, mainly because it gets that classic rock sound, especially if I wanted to do like AC/DC stuff or something. And the Jake I'm using with my band because it's small and
kicks ass and
it can cover all the ground that I need, anything clean to AC/DC-ish to harder rock. But I will say my BE-100 is my favorite. It's just got a lot of power and sounds great, especially through the 4x12 cab. It's awesome. So that's my assessment. I've gone back and forth of whether I really need the Little Sister or not. If I was pressed for cash, I'd probably sell it only because I've got a lot of amps and I don't need everything. So, but that's because I just don't have $1 million. If I did, I'd keep everything. So let's see. John Gallagher, the Butcher amp needs an overdrive. work good on my PV VTM 120, but is loud. Yeah, that's what I would say. It needs an overdrive pedal. Let's see. I'm going here. Andrew Anderson, how can players such as Hetfield layer several amps in the studio? Is there a way to record them simultaneously besides each individually? Yeah, that's what they were doing. They're actually...
Sure. There's a you know, you can use a splitter. Like, for instance, like Radial makes a rack mount amp splitter called... let me look. Can't remember.
But that's what... Greg Fiddleman said, right? They record Hetfield with four amps going that are all mic'd at the same time. And then they can blend them or pull one out depending on what they want.
Yes, here it is. It is the JD7.
Radial JD7?
Radial JD7, it allows you 6 amp outs where 5 of them are phase switchable and ground liftable. So you'll have no issues with grounding or phase or anything. Works good.
That's cool.
Expensive.
Now, when you're doing this, I think you have to have each cabinet in a different location. Do they have to be kind of isolated?
No.
Or would you have lead?
You know, a lot of times what they do with stuff like that in a professional studio is they kind of baffle them off with baffles.
Okay.
And it minimizes the bleed. Or you can just go for it. I mean, it's not the end of the world. With a little bit of bleed in here and there, because they're close miking it. And,
right.
And like for instance, a 57 mic, it does not pick up a lot of rear or side, sounds. It's mostly straight on.
I see. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Cars in Depth. This is very nice of you. Thanks for the super chat. And, I hope Bobby's family in Israel is safe as well.
And, think everything's okay.
Yeah, I hope everybody in
Israel
is okay. It's a crazy time. Crazy, crazy time. Basile Tiffany, important question. Why must amps be loud to sound good?
I don't always think they have to be really loud to sound good. One amp. Plexi Marshall or something, it has to be loud to sound good because it derives its distortion from being pushed and loud. The other thing is you're pushing your speakers to a certain point and the speakers react differently as they're pushed. They have a little more, thump and thing to them. So, I've always strived to be able to make amps that sound really good, super low and loud.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always been my thing. So, I think it's part, you get a feel when you play it loud,
Mm-hmm. I find
feels like,
Yeah. You feel it. You just actually,
feel it.
Right.
That's why I don't understand metal and modelers.
Right.
Like heavy, heavy music and modelers with in-ears just don't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense whatsoever. Right.
It goes against
everything that it's about to
right.
me.
Right.
Now, obviously there's people that do that, but I think you should move air on stage a little, at least some. It doesn't have to be excruciating, just some.
But that's what rock music is about.
It's I think when you see cabless stages and this and that, it's just, I'm sorry, I don't care. No sound guy seems to make it sound right. It just doesn't sound right. It never sounds right. It's kind of an empty feeling. It might work for some pop music, but it doesn't really work for aggressive rock.
Yeah. Yep.
Just doesn't.
Renee Lopez. Hey, Dave and Mark, whatever happened to having Dan Huff as a guest?
Funny you say that.
Oh.
I just got the guy who kind of tried to set that up before just was like trying to set that up again. And he mentioned it to Dan, and Dan thinks, oh yeah, I think they contacted me, but I think I forgot. And so I have the emails again, and we'll make another attempt.
Okay. Yep. Let's see.
'Cause that'll be fun. That would be good.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I'm still waiting on Jason Hook, who desperately wants to do it, but his people seem to not want to necessarily have him do it.
I don't know. They reached out to me on the side.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. And today.
Oh good.
And I gave the guy the dates. So I said that potentially we could do it next week, next Friday. Potentially. Mm-hmm. Or what was the other? I think I said December 1st.
Yeah, I saw that you had.
Yeah, yeah, and so I also wrote to the guy separately. He wrote me on the side, so we'll see if we can get that to work.
They got a team.
Oh yeah, there's several people.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are employed.
Apparently,
that's funny. Well, I'm glad Jason wants to come on, man. He seems like a cool guy.
He's cool. He's fun, and he's a geek. So he loves guitar stuff. So he's a really nice guy, and he loves guitar stuff. So, you know, he'll have lots to say, and it'll be a fun show.
Yeah, no, he seems really cool.
Yeah. He's really cool.
Spartan Pride, did we hear the VH remasters? I have not.
I have not either.
No, but I will say that I know that Rick
Beato. As long as Ed didn't do it.
The VH remaster.
There's been some remasters that Ed did, and like during his troubled time, shall we say, and there.
No, I think this was. I think Alex had something to do with this.
Yeah. So I don't know. You know, just like some people have an interesting. You know, remasters are interesting. I don't always. I kind of don't believe they really should be done. Unless the original job was so botched that it needs fixing. I can't, you know, you get used to, everyone remasters and does this, and, you know, you get used to the way it sounded originally, and why does it have to be remastered? I don't.
Well, I mean, I do have my own, like, opinions about, like, OU812, the mix on it.
Oh, that was that was bad.
Yeah,
no bass.
Right. Yeah, I'd love to hear that album remixed and remastered. Yeah. So, what's the difference between remixing and remastering?
Well, with mastering, you're taking the two track, the raw mix, and then you're applying compression, EQ, limiting to that raw mix.
So you don't actually have the.
It's like if you took a CD or track, you know, that you have and just started playing with it with EQ and compression and limiting. Just with much better gear. I mean, you can do a lot if they you can also do a lot of harm. You can also make the old record that sounded perfectly great be slammed and crushed to death where now it doesn't sound good anymore.
Right.
If you do that too much, you can change the relationships between instruments where all of a sudden, this is much louder than it used to be, you know, and not the whole thing, like a part, you know, because the compression has brought it up and out. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't know. I like originals.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
I guess, again, maybe, you know, like OU812. Okay, yeah, that might be good. That might be a good candidate for remastering.
Right. I'd like to hear that remastered or remixed. You know,
Ultimate Sin by Ozzy is a good candidate for remixing entirely.
Yes, like so, bring the guitar up. Where's the guitar?
Yeah,
that's true. I don't know if you saw Rick Beato did a video about Van Halen recently, where he was talking about those tracks that just came out.
Oh yeah.
So I know I haven't seen it yet,
but yeah.
Yeah, a friend of ours sent us these 47 or 74, whatever it is, 74 tracks from Van Halen 1 through 6, pretty much, different tracks. Isolated guitar of Ed and, you know, different alternate tracks and stuff like that. And it's, you can hear a lot of this stuff on YouTube now. It's kind of leaked on YouTube. Mm-hmm. So
that's great
to it. But yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. Just listening to like raw, what was it? On Fire.
Song's not quite finished yet. They basically got it in and they haven't quite honed it in all the way yet. You know,
like the one that really got me was Bring On The Girls. Mm-hmm. Instead of Beautiful Girls.
Yeah.
You know, like that to me, I mean, if it didn't have anything to do with like Ted Templeman, I'd be shocked. But I was thinking that's probably where Ted was probably like, you know, it'll probably sound a lot better if you guys just said Beautiful Girls instead of Bring On The Girls.
Well, I think a lot was wrangling in what they were doing and making it what we finally heard.
Right.
I think Ted had a lot to do with that. I think David had a lot to do with it. Knowing the camp, very good riff writers, but maybe not great finish songsmiths, so to speak.
Right.
You know.
Well, that's where a producer comes in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super cool.
The one and only time that I ever had the opportunity of going into the studio was in college. And we actually recorded an album. The singer of my band at the time sold his motorcycle so we can, I'm sure his parents were happy, but he sold his motorcycle while we were in college to fund the demo that we were making.
Awesome.
And the guy in the studio who's basically the engineer / producer, I mean, we hired him to have, you know, these days in the studio. He took these songs that we had and just added stuff to it. If you guys are ever on YouTube, look up, if you're on ever on YouTube, you're watching YouTube right now, look up Gumption Trap. That was the name of my band from the 80s. There's a demo up there that we did. And anyway, the guitar player, he was kind of like the producer guitar player, and he reshaped these songs for us. And it was pretty amazing to see, like, to hear the songs that we were doing in this little garage to being recorded by someone who knew what the hell they were doing was pretty big. Vinny says you should file a complaint with the Better Business Bureau. He did that with FedEx last year and they called him immediately and made my issue right.
Yeah. You know what? It all takes a lot of time. And the problem is when you make money with your time, you know, you're making, you know, it's like, how much time do you want to spend?
Yeah.
It's versus how much time are you losing versus what you lost? You know, it's like, I'll deal with it.
Oh, wow. Eric Johnson says Tone Talk is huge in Pittsburgh.
Well, there we go.
All right. We'll get 10 people. All right. That's awesome. Sell the box of WA for one money. What does that mean? Let's see. So remind me when Reinhold Bogner is coming on again. We haven't asked him, basically.
Yeah. It's a whole loaded thing.
Yeah. It sounds like it's probably not going to happen. So
yeah.
But how about that? We probably won't have Reinhold on the show. That's the way it goes.
I think we got more super chats in here too.
Yeah, I saw a bunch come in. So let me see.
Whole bunch.
Rock and rolling. I have a 20-watt Marshall Silver Jubilee head. I love the tone, but why are those amps so quiet? Any mods to increase the output?
No mods. I've never even played one, so I have no idea. I mean, their other 20 watt amps aren't that quiet. Not sure. Don't know anything about it. So I'm sorry, I can't help.
Yeah, I had the 51, I had the 150 watt option, and that was loud as hell. So, guitar for your project. Thanks for the super chat. I'm using a splitter for the output of the IRX.
Okay, this gets complicated.
Okay, one to an FR, and the other to front of house. Using the effects loop for delay verb. Got a comp phase 90 and tube screamer in front. How can I make this stereo to front of house and also keep one FR? Wow, that's okay.
Okay, this it gets complicated. So, you could, it's very complicated. The only way you're going to have the FR is if you have one side, you're only taking one side, left or right, you know? So what you could do is come out of, like I said, you could come out of your balanced out into your effect with a normal cable. And then you'd have to come out of your effect to be able to split stereo to front of house and a feed, one of them also malted over to the FR. Now, is your effects unit balanced out? Might not be. If so, there's a little box that Samson makes called a... it's called the SL. Oh, that's not it. It's the. Hang on. I will. Hang on.
Okay. Patrick Miller, I can answer this question for you. Any suggestion on a good stereo power amp? Avatone,
single rack space. Awesome.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Sweetwater has it.
Oh, yeah.
Use our link.
Yes, use our link for the Avatone power.
So Samson makes a little box called an MLI-1. Right there.
There you go.
And essentially, it's a one-to-one. So it's a one-to-one signal, so it's not dropping anything. So it can take an unbalanced signal, make it a balanced either TRS or XLR, one or the other, your choice. So theoretically, say you could come out of your stereo effect, you could have three of these boxes. And so one side goes to one of the boxes, the other side has to Y off into two boxes. And then you can feed the stereo front of house and one of your FRs with a transformer isolated balanced signal. Again, you're only going to get one side of that stereo effect in your FRFR though. You could get two FRs and four of these boxes.
Wow.
These aren't very expensive. These are pretty cheap. They're like $39 or something.
That's a lot to carry though.
No, it's all well. It depends on what your FR is. I mean, it could be the little head rush monitors for all that matter, and those are really tiny.
Right, that's true.
So, and work well.
Patrick, thanks for the super chat. Yeah, Avantone, Avantone. I think that's what it is.
Yep.
They have a good stereo power amp. You could also get a cheap Moss valve power amp used. Those are good. Any other suggestions?
I mean, if you're just going to have your cabs wet and not be putting dry in them, you can use a variety of things. There's an old Marshall 20 watt power amp they used to make that was great. There's um I mean, even some of the if you're just wet stuff, you can use some of the Dunkin' Power Block things that they make. Mm. If you're putting dry in it, it matters more. You know, if you're doing Eddie Van Halen style, you want a really good sounding one, and the Avatone would be great for that. So.
Cool. Yeah, again, use our link, which reminds me, as we're an hour into the show, make sure you guys check out Sweetwater, the link below. All right. I know shopping season's happening, Black Friday and all that stuff. Make sure
there's early Black Friday going on, isn't there? I think with them or something.
Probably.
Yeah. And then you got our other sponsor, Fixed Pedal Boards. .com for all your little pedal lifts. Really cool little junction boxes called junk boxes. They're awesome.
And those would be used for
anything to patch in and out in your pedal board. So they technically are TRS pass-throughs, but you can use quarter inch pass-throughs, TRS pass-throughs. You can they're passive, you know. They're awesome little utility boxes. They're small, and they come in a variety of sizes and output configurations from 2 to 8. I mean, so in various sizes. Really cool. And, you know, more stuff to come from them down the road. And then, of course, Thomann. So you have Thomann for our European friends. Thomann would be a great choice. You know, they're like the Sweetwater of Europe.
Yeah, I haven't checked the stats yet, but guys, check out Thomann if you are in Europe and you'd like.
Even if you're not, they ship to the U.S. too, and sometimes they have really good deals on that. Surprisingly,
amazing.
Yeah.
And please press subscribe, click the bell. You guys will get all the notifications when we're going to go live. When we're going to have our next sale with the cables and, you know, all that stuff. So you can stay up on all our news. Speaking of news, we've been in the news a lot recently because of that Greg Fiddleman interview that we did.
Yeah, it keeps popping up.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how they can milk so many articles out of one podcast or something. You know, it's funny, you see how the media machine works, you know, firsthand, so to speak.
Right, they'll just kind of nitpick little things, and which is great. I love the press, keep it, bring it on, you know. Like,
I mean, how many things about Motley Crue have you seen in the last year? It's like every day I click on, you know, every day it's like, God, do you really have to talk about this anymore?
I know. Well, speaking of that, I would like to have Mick Mars on.
I would too.
Yeah. Especially with his new album coming out. Or did the whole album come out, or was it just a single?
I don't think the whole record has come out yet. Yeah, I think it's just a single right now.
Yeah. Okay. James McNair. Thanks for the super chat, Dave. I'm looking to trade up from a BE50 Deluxe to a BE100 Deluxe. Have there been any updates to the amp since the first one's produced, or are they all the same? Love the show. Thanks.
Not much. Maybe some subtle little tiny things. Basically, they're the same though. So, or even if you get it, I mean, it can be tweaked to be the same. So. Did make a little change recently. I kind of went back to something I used to do. Cause you know, often here's what happens often with me. It's like you'll think you're improving something, and then you realize, wait, I'm not really improving anything.
Right.
And it was great before. So right. Yeah.
Okay, Paul Crane, please see question regarding open cab above. And I looked above and I don't see your question about open cab, so I'm not really sure what's going on.
Okay, let me go over to the
non-star.
Oh,
I see, here it is. What do you find the difference between open versus closed back cabinets? I have a closed back 1x12 with Taden Alnico Ace 25s, like blue, but 25 watts, thinking of making it open.
Well, an open back cab will generally sound okay. A 1x12, especially an open back cab, will sound bigger, generally with more bass, a little more treble, a little less mid range, a little more of a scoop in the middle. Versus a closed back, which has more mid-range content, but often a closed back in a 1x12, unless done just right or with some ports, sounds like crap. It just doesn't, it's not like a 4x12 where it's a bigger cabinet. It just sounds like a box. And in that case, I think an open back cabinet might be better. They're definitely different sounds. You know, a closed back will be more focused and more like the 4x12, but it's not really a 4x12, especially in a 1x12. It can be kind of boxy. Mm-hmm. Like even 2x12s can be kind of boxy with a full closed back. So like on my 2x12s, I have a little port that lets a little air out, you know, and lets it breathe a little bit. Our 1x12s, our small cube 1x12s that have a closed back are ported in the front. So they're not entirely closed backed. It's just that the air, there's no room for it to the speaker to breathe, you know. It gets kind of it's suffocating in there.
So when you say it's ported in the front, what do you mean?
There's two round, like in our small 112 cabinets, there's two little round tube ports on the left and the right at the bottom.
Oh, on the front,
and it's attuned,
but it's port. Covered.
Yeah, it's covered. You don't know it's there. Yeah. And that's how most of those cube, like Bogner cubes and other ones that have existed, are mostly
probably
like
sound
that.
Bigger. Yeah.
Yeah. Even the old Boogie Teal design stuff was a teal port, you know, it was a different kind of thing. That's why they sound bigger. The thing about a smaller cabinet, the smaller it goes, the smaller it sounds generally too. So you have to kind of fight with that a little bit.
Interesting. Sean.
Jason's in the chat. Hello, Jason. Jason Tong?
Oh, Jason Tong. I thought you meant Jason Hook.
Yeah, no.
So
no.
Jason Tong.
Actually, I just saw that. That's probably old, actually. Now he's been in the chat for a while.
Okay, what's up, Jason? Sean got the VH remastered set of Sammy's, and they sound great. All right.
Oh, cool. Great. Awesome.
I'll check it out.
I'm glad they didn't butcher it.
What else we got here? Zabba Wabo, thank you, Dave, for the advice on the new old stock rectifiers. I was thinking of one for reliability, but yeah, I can buy a lot of replacement new ones for the price of a good old one. LOL.
Yep.
There you go.
For sure.
Greatest recorded live show you've seen?
Greatest recorded live show I've seen?
Oh, I don't think I've seen any recorded live shows.
I might have one. There's only one thing I can think of, and it was actually a DVD. There was a live Marilyn Manson DVD that was recorded here in Los Angeles, and I was there for the live taping of it. This was on the Hollywood tour that he had done with John Five on guitar and a Twiggy still playing bass. And that was awesome. That was an interesting evening. It had all sorts of, so we had backstage stuff, and that is, you know, there's an ice luge for vodka, you know, all this crazy stuff backstage.
Wow.
It was fun. It sounds really cool too. So it was a great DVD. This was at, I think Marilyn Manson's probably height best, actually, I would think.
You know, I went to high school with the original guitar player for Marilyn Manson.
Oh, Zim Zum or whatever, the guy
Daisy Berkowitz.
Oh, okay. And then there was Zim Zum, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Daisy Berkowitz was the original guitar player down here in South Florida. It was Scott Pateski. He actually, unfortunately, passed away from cancer.
No. Which is another good reason we're donating to the Cancer Fund.
Exactly.
Cancer Fund.
Yeah, Scott Pesky, a nice guy.
Yeah, I've dealt with the other guitar player. I did a lot of work over the years with Marilyn Manson.
Hmm.
Yeah, like tons.
For me, the only show that potentially was recorded that will maybe one day will come out as it was the reunion for David Lee Roth's band at NAMM
with
Steve Vai. You know, who was it? Steve Vai, the bass player. I'm drawing a blank.
Billy Sheehan.
The drummer is, I don't know. I'm drawing a blank.
Yeah, me too.
I know.
I can't even see how he looks.
Oh, I know his name. I just can't. I know who he is. I just can't. I'm just fucking old. I can't remember his name. Shit. Anyway, that was a great reunion, but it just didn't have David Lee Roth, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But that was a really, really cool show to see at NAMM. I was, and thank you to Naomi and George Pajon, who got me and my at the time friends first front row in the VIP. We were all behind. We couldn't see shit. And then Naomi, his wife, and George come over and say hi to me, and they saw where we were standing. And she's like, Greg Bissonette.
Yep.
Vinny just texted me.
Greg Bissonette.
So George Pajon and his wife came over to me, and they're like, you want to get into the VIP section? I'm like, please?
Yeah. Please?
Yeah. They were super cool. So
awesome.
All right. Cardboard. Dave, I bought my DS40 from Marty at
Motor City Guitar.
Yeah. Super nice dude. This was before he was on the podcast, but he was telling me some stories from when you guys were younger, loving my BE100 Deluxe as well.
Yeah, man. Marty's the best. Marty's, I consider my brother. So I don't have brothers, but you know, he's as close as I got. Yeah, he's the greatest, and he's always been the greatest. So yeah, keep buying stuff from Motor City Guitar, people. It's a great store.
Are you going back to Detroit anytime soon?
I might be in December.
You usually go back in like the holiday time.
Well, I might be going back. I don't want to say what for yet.
Hmm. Okay. Gotcha. Everyone click like and subscribe. I agree. Thank you, Cardboard.
Absolutely.
Please do that. What else we got?
I know I have about 15 more minutes before I got okay. I have a dinner. My daughter's in town, so I'm going to go to dinner with her.
Oh, cool.
She's routinely in town since she's a flight attendant.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's cool. She travels.
Tiki, my oldest daughter, is a flight attendant for Delta. So
very cool. My daughter's boyfriend, his family is in the airline parts industry, and one of their sons works for Delta.
Oh, yeah. So. Delta evidently is a really good company to work for. You know, it's not a publicly I think it's a privately owned company, if I understand right.
Really?
Yeah. And yeah, I don't think it's publicly traded. And they did some really nice things. Like during the pandemic, they did some very interesting things to survive. You know, they're actually profitable. I mean, it's a little more expensive than most airlines, but they've also been very profitable over time. You know, no one's bailing them out generally. But during the interesting thing she told me is like during the pandemic, when everything was, you know, people weren't traveling or anything like that, they actually converted most of their passenger planes to cargo planes temporarily, you know, pulled all the seats out, and just because cargo was like crazy, they had to.
Yeah, totally makes sense.
So they were able to make enough money doing it so they could keep the business afloat, you know, not, you know, be just sitting on the ground. They pivoted quickly.
Smart.
you know, and it was a smart move. I mean, she just told me some stuff. And also the way they, you know, like, I mean, every airline has its issues, right? And everyone complains about, you know, flight cancellations and this and that and delays and stuff. But, you know, if you have to pick one, I probably Delta is probably the best. You know, if you know, at least U.S. airline, you know. And well, also, had to apply for the job. There's a whole vetting process that you have to go through, like 6 months of vetting.
Wow.
Before you ever get invited to actually go finally train. And then you still could fail.
right.
You know, but there's a lot that a flight attendant has to go through to get that job at Delta.
Oh, I would imagine.
They're very well trained.
Yeah.
Yeah. Extremely. Yeah. In all forms of things, you know.
I'm sure it's a good
aid and everything, and you know.
I'm sure it's good benefits probably once you're in and everything.
Yeah, I mean, if you keep at it and you're for the long haul, eventually, yes, it's a, you know, eventually it's a six-figure income, and you know,
that's nice. Question for Dave here, on the little sister, and using a JHS black box in the loop for another master volume attenuation feature. Would that work? I love the little sister, but probably a little too loud for my apartment.
I mean, really, you can't just use the master. I mean, with that amp, I mean, all you're doing is putting a master before a master. So in that amp, you have the EQ, then there's an effects loop, and then there's a master volume, and then there's the power amp. So if you put a JHS black box in the loop, you're just literally putting a master before the master. You're not really, you're just limiting level there and then boosting it there. There's really no point. I don't really see the point.
I mean, I have the little sister. I can get it down to whisper volume.
And I think the little JHS little black box in some of the amps might be really cool, like a Runt or something like that. But in that particular amp, I think it's kind of redundant.
Okay. Jose G, what's going on? Thanks for the super chat. Hey guys, future guest Brian Gerhard. Oh, you know him? Top hand.
Yeah, I mean, I actually, yes, I know Brian a little bit, and yeah, Pete did do a show with him and it was cool, and I think that's a good idea, actually.
Yeah,
I'm right. I can get the contact.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks for the suggestion, Jose. Rummy, Dave, why on Strat style guitars do builders slant the bridge single coil but don't slant the humbucker? I've seen humbuckers slanted.
I've seen humbuckers slanted too. I mean, like, well, the idea of slanting a humbucker was to align the standard Gibson style
for a Floyd.
Why on a Strat was that done originally? That's a very good question. I don't know if I have an answer for that. It actually sort of seems to me like it should be slanted the opposite direction. You know?
Yeah, I have
a Strat. What's the reasoning behind that? I'm not positive why that was done originally. I'm sure there was a reason originally, but they wanted the wound strings to be fatter or something, or, you know, in actuality, I would almost like to see it in the reverse.
So the higher pitch strings are, yeah, a little lower.
Like Hendrix style.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because then the high strings would be less bright.
Right.
And fatter. And then the lower strings would have more cut. But,
that's how Jake,
I don't really know. Yeah. Yeah. That's how Jake did it. So, yeah, all his like ideas were really quite thought out.
Yeah.
When I've talked to him about it after the fact, I'm just like, Oh yeah, that's a good, it's a good thought. Yeah. I understand where you were coming from with that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Christian Daniel, Dave, what 20 watt amp that you make is closest to Bill's signature amp? Is there any artist you have been close to making a signature amp for? Thanks.
Oh, guitar for? No. No on the guitar.
Oh, signature guitar. Oh.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, as far as the Bill's signature amp, I mean, probably would be the JJ Jr., to be honest, would be the closest. It would be pretty much like the middle channel on a Butterslacks.
Hmm.
Yeah. With the JBE on, it would be pretty much like the middle channel on the Butterslacks. Yep.
Have you ever worked on or played the original Frankenstrat?
I have played it.
Really?
Yes. I remember when it was sitting there with the original one and the copy when it first came out. And like, you're literally sitting there staring at it going,
which is which?
Yeah. Yeah. Played like shit.
Did it?
Absolutely. Hard to play. It was a fucking ratty ass pile of junk.
I remember trying.
You know, it was cool.
Oh, well, of course. I remember trying the $25,000 one that came out at Guitar Center. I remember. I was like, "Holy shit, that's
awful."
Yeah, it was hard. The bridge was falling apart. I was like, "Wow."
Yeah. That's the way it is.
That's the way it is.
That's the way it was. That's the way it was, man.
He played the shit out of it.
Yeah, it's. Yeah, you know, I saw someone that was. Emulating some guy that was emulating Stevie Ray Vaughan's setup and string gauges online somewhere. I don't remember who the hell it was or how I stumbled upon this video. And I started watching it, and like, he had the exact string gauges that were used, you know, they were 13s, you know, and they started with 13. And I think it's a little different, slightly different gauges than a standard 13 set. I think the low strings were a smidge lighter. And then also about the action was on Stevie's guitar was super high also.
Right.
And, yeah. and it had 6,000 bass frets on it, you know, this would be like a monster to play, right?
Right. Yeah. I can only imagine.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but there is something about string height. I remember Steve Stevens was always really particular. He's always really particular about string height. He doesn't like his action very low. He likes it up quite a bit.
Hmm.
So just when you think it's up a little higher than you want it, he wants it more. And he explained it to me about, it's just how the string freely vibrates. And it sounds different. And I remember setting up a guitar, a Friedman guitar he has, for him once, and adjusting it to kind of what he wanted. And there was a point when I did that I realized it kind of just all fell into place for me. I get it now. I get the sound he was talking about. I got his vision on it. And it did actually sound better. Was it harder to play? Yeah, okay. Yeah. Maybe it was harder to play.
Yeah, probably.
But did the note ring better? Yes.
Well, it makes sense.
It just sounded better.
Right.
Yep.
Peter Urban. What's going on, Peter? Dave and Mark, building a guitar with EMG 85 SASA HSS. Any tips, ideas? Thanks for the show as always. My first tip would be don't put EMGs in the guitar.
That's what I was going to say. Peter, I don't have any I've always sort of just didn't like active pickups. So I understand the point sometimes, maybe, and it's really quiet too. But yeah. I don't really have any advice because I've literally never owned a single guitar with active pickups ever in my life.
Yeah, me either. Well, that's a lie. I had Kirk Hammett. It was one of the first guitars I got after like my Squire that I got. It was like a Kirk Hammett signature that had EMGs in it. I hated it. I couldn't wait to get rid of it. But it was also because of the bridge that was on it too. I was very new to Floyd Roses, and I just could not for the life of me figure it out. But now I'm like an expert on Floyd Roses. So, all I can say is good luck with it, Peter. I don't know.
There was an old David Gilmour set that he used to use. It had two preamps in it, and you know, I could see the point. That guitar was kind of cool. But anyway, let's move on, because I gotta go. I got 2 minutes to answer three questions.
All right, Dave, have you ever considered doing an amp building class like Bruce Egnator's?
No way. That's way more work than I want to do. I always kind of hope that maybe Bruce and I could do one together one day, but I don't know if that will ever happen. But that would be fun, though.
Yeah, it's got to be a lot of work.
It's a lot of work prepping all the kits and everything. It's just like, it's just not, I don't have the time. I just don't have the time.
Yeah. Well, maybe one day down the road in your retirement years.
Maybe.
it looks like Bruce has some openings in March and April. So if you guys want to attend a Bruce class in Detroit, check it out.
You get an amp.
Yep. Let's see. Vapor Trails. Hey, is there anything other than the wax potting and noise gate that can be done to prevent microphonic squeal with high gain? Les Paul with Burst Bucker Pros. I'm constantly stuck fighting between sustain and feedback.
Well, I mean, like, wax potting will fix the feedback, period. But if you're talking, if it's high pitch feedback, that is the pickup being microphonic. If it's just normal feedback, that is not, has nothing to do with that. That has to do with the volume you're playing at and how much gain. Turn the gain down, fixes the problem.
And are you really close to your amp?
Yeah.
Are you facing
turn the gain down and it will fix the problem. You probably just have too much gain going, you know. If it's not totally microphonic, like squealing. Squealing is what wax potting fixes.
Right.
Okay. Turn the gain down, learn to play with less gain, and get the sustain out of your fingers.
And try to move away from the amp a little bit. John Wayne, thanks for the super chat. Very generous of you. I punished Dave severely last month with asking him questions for a wet, dry, wet rig for a G system, Ebtech and Korg tuner. Thanks for taking the time to help. Just one question. Are you still working on the plan, or did the info you give constitute the plan?
Oh, man. Remind me with an email, please. I'm sorry if I maybe dropped the ball on something. I get a lot of emails, and things get lost after a while. So shoot me an email again. I'll take care of it.
Okay. Jordan B. Butterslacks, 20 watt. Let's go.
I don't know. Not with the announcement that he's using victories now. Or maybe he's not. I actually don't think he is, but I don't know.
And Synosure Anthem. My girlfriend is going to buy me an IRX for Christmas. We both like the version you signed anyway to put out another batch. Anyway,
Maybe. I mean, we're almost out ourselves. So, I mean, I would get what you can get right now, to be honest, because there might be a little bit of a wait before the next batch.
Are they still available? There's still a few?
A lot of places, there's none available. So, we still have some.
The signed version, though.
Signs are gone. Signed ones are gone.
I got you. Yeah. Okay. So, all right. Well,
there you have it. That's it. I got to go.
Okay, guys.
Sorry, guys, but generally we try to keep these around this time frame.
So. Yeah, we're just 5-6 minutes short. So, everybody, we answered all the super chats and everybody's most questions. We'll
if
be
you
back
have other soon. Questions that you really wanted answered, please email me. I'll be free. You know, I answer emails all day anyway.
All right, guys. Have a all great right. weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, Mark, I'm signing off.
All right.
I gotta go.
Have a good one.
Bye. Take care.